This is Glenn McQuaid.
And this is Larry Fessenden.
And you are listening to
Tales from Beyond the Pale,
the podcast.
Greetings, audiophile.
What?
Well, that was invigorating. Nothing like a live audience. Speaking of which, seems there's nothing but the dead down here. My kind of people. Now then, what's the roll call look like tonight? Who's left in the pale roster? The who's who of the who used to be? Larry Fessenden? Jen Wexler? Ted Gagan? My, what a motley crew of corpses. Ah, here we are. Joe Maggio. Now there's a name I'll never forget. Man on the Ledge, Cannibals, The Ram King, all buried hits. I don't suppose Joe would mind if I pilfered his grave. Do you? Right then, let's see what treasures lie within. And what's this? No. Aha! A cassette. The Slaughtered. Sounds charming. Thank you, Joe. Let's see if it still works, shall we? Well, good thing they buried me with my trusty stereo. Now then, audiophiles, close your eyes if you have them, and enjoy Joe Maggio's The Slaughtered.
Doing here? Nature, my ass. Sublime nature. Ha! Biggest con in human history. Give me a stroll down Upper Broadway any day. Human contact. Bookstores, cafes, museums, music halls, delectable foods. The noise and filth of humanity. But here? Nothing but deer ticks and hayseeds. Fuck this place! Fuck it all right to hell! Go fuck yourself, fucking woodpecker! Fuck! Oh. How did you let Carol talk you into this little adventure, Billy boy? Gotta have your head examined. If you don't do something quick, there'll be no turning back. And act fast. Before it's too late. That ethical society bunch, ye! Bunch of blood-sucking creepers! Fucking Munger library renovation is going to set you back a cool million. Easy come, easy go, I suppose, but still. Think! How can you convince her? We need to get out of here before it's too late. We don't belong here.
Say that again.
Oh, for the love of God, you startled me.
I was gonna announce myself, but then I didn't want to interrupt your little conversation.
Well, sort of a lifelong habit.
How's that?
I mean talking to myself. Just something I've always done.
That explains it.
Explains what?
How come I've been here all morning and ain't had a single deer come through this here game trail?
Oh, well, I'm sorry about that. Have I scared them all away?
Looks that way.
I'm no hunter, but didn't deer season end back in December?
Ain't trout season neither, but take a look at these beauties I pulled out of Fishkill Creek this morning.
Brown trout?
Yep.
Not a catch and release, man.
Fuck no. What's the point of that? I fish for the same reason I hunt. To eat. Simple as that. And see, as I need to eat 365 days out of the year, I don't pay no mind to seasons or limits or any other scheme the government cooks up to line its pockets. And if you want to report me to Fish and Game, then you go right ahead and do that.
Report? Now, hold on, I never...
Like the song says, this land is my land. Over 300 years, my family's lived on it, worked it. Ain't met a game warden yet who was man enough
Just a minute, sir! I have absolutely no intention of reporting you to the game warden or anyone else for that matter. I'm simply out walking and clearing my head. Now, I feel like we've gotten off on the wrong foot.
What foot would that be?
Let's just start over. My name is William Baxter. I've recently moved here with my wife.
Oh, I know who you are. You're that New York City big shot who's doing up the old Munger Library.
Well, technically, it's my wife who's...
I know who your wife is, too. Carol Baxter.
That's right.
Got herself mixed up with all them ethical society folks.
I don't know that mixed up is precisely how I would put it. But that's right. She's active in the society.
I know everything that happens in these parts, Bill. You get so much as a little itch on your big toe, and I'll know about it.
Well, I suppose I should leave you to your hunt. But seeing as you know so much about me, at least tell me who you are.
Name's Munger, Henry Munger. You'll kindly address me as Mr. Munger.
Munger? Like the library?
Like a lot of stuff around here.
So then Phyllis Pfister says, I just think we have an obligation to respect the historical integrity of the structure, as if the Munger Library in West Olive, New York, with the Sistine Chapel. I mean, frankly, the building is an architectural disaster. But hey, I'm the new gal, so I say, how about this? Glass walls. All the interior walls will be glass to reflect the Ethical Society's commitment to complete ethical transparency. And you should have seen Phyllis's face. It was killing her. She knew it was a stroke of genius. And I love Phyllis to death, and her ethical concerns are cutting edge, but her design sensibility is strictly Ethan Allen. Cheers.
And how much extra is this stroke of genius going to cost me?
The contractor says it'll be slightly more expensive, but definitely worth it.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, don't be a sourpuss. It's for a good cause.
Why is it every time you zero in on a good cause, I have to pull out my checkbook?
Oh, listen to you, my stodgy old grump. I'm just so damn proud of you. Of us. When all of your Harvard buddies were off grabbing every dollar they could get their greedy hands on, you forged your own path in the financial jungle, ethically sound, morally upstanding. Sure, it took us a little longer, but look at us now. Beautiful home, financially well off, our beautiful boy Ben graduating from Oberlin. I want the library renovation to be completed by the time he comes back for his graduation party so he can see just what one can accomplish in this world when you stick to your ideals and keep your nose to the grindstone.
You can take the girl out of the PR firm?
I'm serious. This isn't just public relations copy. What you've accomplished is astonishing. And what's more, your hands are clean. Remember what Teddy Marks told you when you left the firm to strike out on your own? Leave fair trade to the chicks with hairy legs. Well, you showed them all, and I couldn't be prouder to be Mrs. William Baxter, hairy legs and all. Shall we mix another round?
I suppose so. I met the strangest man today out on my walk. He was hunting deer off the trail to Camelback.
I thought deer season ended in December.
That's exactly what I said. Then he went off on some tirade about how his family lived here on this land for 300 years and no game warden was going to tell him what he could or couldn't hunt. and feed himself. And I suppose he's right about that. Said his name was Munger. Henry Munger.
As in the Munger Library?
I mean, it's gotta be, right? How many Mungers are there in these parts? Old family, probably fallen on hard times, cash poor. Great-grandfather built the town library, and now he's out killing squirrels to feed his family. Classic story.
I'll ask around the Ethical Society. I'm sure someone will know who he is. Cheers.
Just another day in paradise. Yay. Fuck that. Fuck paradise. Fuck you, squirrel. Fuck you, bird. And fuck this whole place. Think, Billy boy, think. You're in deep, 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 deep. Bottom of the ninth. Two outs. Two strikes. And no balls. This isn't your life. You need to pull up stakes, company, move. Back to the city. But then what? Jesus Christ.
Well, well, well.
Mr. Munger.
Hello, Bill.
Was that you who just fired?
Sure was.
You really do get around.
How's that?
Well, I thought you'd stick to your family's land over in West Olive. This is a little off the beaten path, no?
I don't recall saying I owned any land, Bill.
But when we met in West Olive, you said your family owned that land for...
I said the land was mine, and it is. And this land is mine, too, but I don't own it.
I'm afraid I don't follow.
Anyone can buy a piece of land. Anyone can own it. All that takes is money. But for the land to be yours, truly yours, well, now that's different. This land, me, there ain't no difference. Ain't no separation. See, this land is within me and without me. You follow that?
What's that?
Well, I was kind of in the middle of something when you come along.
For the love of...
That's a 10-point buck, Bill. You ever seen something so beautiful?
He's in agony.
Yeah, he is.
Well, don't just stand there. Do something.
Like what?
Put him out of his misery.
Now, that's the first good idea to come out your mouth since I've known you, Bill. Here you go.
What?
You do it.
No.
Why not?
Because I'm not the one who shot him in the first place.
So?
It's barbaric!
So you want me to do something that you won't do because it's barbaric? Now that's just confusing, Bill.
Do it!
No.
Fine. Give me the damn gun.
Hit him right between the eyes, Bill. It's the quickest, most humane shot. What you waiting for? Go on, pull the trigger. Pull the trigger. Pull the trigger. Pull the trigger! Pull the trigger! Good shot, Bill. That there's food for an entire winter. Here, take a belt.
No, thank you.
Take it. Easy, boy. Leave some for the fish.
Thank you, Mr. Munger. I needed that.
Sure did, Bill. You did real good. Real good, you see? It ain't barbaric. It's beautiful, ain't it? You ain't a hypocrite. Those Ethical Society folk, shit. They couldn't have done what you just done. They go to the supermarket and buy their meat all shrink-wrapped and clean. No blood, no stink. But here's the thing. The money they pay for that clean filet mignon ain't the cost of the flesh. No, sir. It's the price they pay for the illusion that it won't ever be them who gets the bolt rammed in their foreheads or buckshot slugged between the eyes. Me? I kill, and I ain't got no problem with it, because I gotta eat. And I know that sooner or later, my time will come, and it'll be me curled up under that there bush, waiting for my hunter to finish me off. It's what's right. Just the way of the universe. The cycle of life. One of the fundamental laws of nature. I am the slaughterer and the slaughtered.
You know, Mr. Munger, I'd like to know you better.
I think we can arrange that.
It is 4 p.m., and I'd like to call the May 14th meeting of the West Olive Ethical Society to order. For those of you new to the society, I am Phyllis Pfister, Society President. First up on the agenda, we'll continue our discussion of the Common Council's proposal to impose a carbon tax on all establishments in the West Olive Township that serve meat or meat products. Move to continue discussion?
Move to discuss.
Second.
Motion is passed. Carol, maybe you could give a quick summary of the council's position for our newcomers.
The council believes that there are hidden societal costs related to meat consumption. Commercial livestock farming is one of the major factors contributing to climate change. It's estimated that extreme weather and natural disasters related to climate change, from wildfires to hurricanes and flooding, has cost U.S. taxpayers over $1.4 trillion over the past 10 years. This proposed tax would function in a similar manner to the sin tax on cigarettes and tobacco products as a disincentive for consumption, and also a revenue stream to offset the costs related to extreme weather mentioned already.
This bill treats the issue as a purely financial problem, and in doing so, ignores the larger ethical concerns around animal husbandry and meat consumption.
I completely agree with Marjorie. It's like saying that murder is unethical simply because it robs the victim's family of the wages they would have earned if said victim went on living.
Well, I think we might be veering slightly off topic.
Says who?
I'm with Hank and Marjorie. I hear these gun-crazy yahoos up in the hills day in and day out, shooting at anything that moves. A tax on meat is all good and well, but we have got animal genocide happening right under our noses, and we're doing nothing about it.
I hate to be a stick in the mud, but I know I'm not the only carnivore in the room.
I object to Helen's assertion that eating meat is tantamount to genocide.
Then what should we call it, Jane?
Humans have been hunting and eating animals since the beginning of time.
So? We've been enslaving one another as well. Does that make slavery right?
Animals are not humans.
So you're saying that animals aren't entitled to ethical consideration?
Of course they are, but they're not ethical creatures per se.
PETA and the ASPCA might disagree with you on that.
Look, we can be ethical in our treatment of animals, but you need consciousness to ponder ethics.
Animals have consciousness. Yeah. They feel fear and love their children.
How the hell do you know that?
Clearly, you have never looked into the eyes of a cow as her newborn calf is ripped from her side.
Animals eat other animals. Are those predators committing genocide?
People, please,
order!
Do the deer in the woods go to school and learn about Hitler the mountain lion?
Order!
So, Phyllis starts slamming her gavel so hard,
that the head flies off, nearly clocks poor Helen Hurley, who starts screaming and accusing Phyllis of microaggressions. I grabbed Dell, and we hightailed it the hell out of Dodge.
Helen Hurley, she's that bottle blonde, right? The 40-something big tits?
Yep.
I always had a thing for her.
Right? She's got this thing, this mysterious vibe.
Wait, you mean the kind of vibe where she ain't gonna win any beauty contests, but it feels like warm milk is flowing through your veins when you so much as look at her?
Yes.
Yes!
I suppose that makes me an awful person.
Hell no. Makes you honest. Ain't a heterosexual man alive who don't cruise down the street and imagine himself laying naked with every damn woman who walks by. And I mean every woman. Skinny, fat, tall, short. We just hardwired that way. Of course, we don't do nothing but smile and say, how you doing? Have a nice day. That's the civilizing force, and I ain't got no problem with that. It's all this pretending, and we're not who we truly are. It burns me. Them ethical society folk, they're the worst offenders. They talk and talk and talk all day long about ethics and morality, big highfalutin ideas, but then they sneak over and poison their neighbors well just for looking at them sideways. Vipers and scorpions, every last one of them.
You said it. You know, Mr. Munger, these outings have been a real shot in the arm for me. I've been at my wit's end ever since we moved out from Manhattan. I felt like a flopping fish on the end of a cold, sharp hook. But I'm finally starting to feel like I can breathe again.
You don't mind me asking, what was it brought you out to these parts in the first place?
Well, Carol grew up in the country, and she never really felt at home in the city. She was a good sport about it, never complained. Raised our boy Ben there. 3 years ago, Ben went off to college, and I started winding down my business. Slowly selling off my investments. Just felt like the right time to make a move. Did I say something wrong?
Not at all. What line of business was it you was in?
I ran an investment fund that focused exclusively on SRIs.
SR what?
I'm sorry. SRI. It stands for Socially Responsible Investments. I helped steer capital towards businesses like fair trade coffee, solar and wind technology, that sort of thing. There you go again, Mr. Munger.
You got family money then? That it, Bill?
No. My parents were academics. My father taught at Harvard Divinity. My mother taught anthropology at Simmons.
Huh.
I'd love to know what you find so intriguing.
Well, it ain't really my area of expertise, but it's kind of hard to square how a man your age could just suddenly retire to the country and live like the man or born, throwing what must be a cool million into that library project your wife's heading up off of do-gooder investments like fair trade coffee and solar panels.
You're a very perceptive man, Mr. Munger. Very perceptive indeed. You play yourself off as a bit of a country bumpkin, but you don't miss a beat, do you?
Like I said when we met, you get so much as an itch on your big toe, I'll know about it. Now, why don't you cut all this socially responsible investment bullshit and tell me what's really on your mind.
But there's nothing on my mind.
We both know that's not true, Bill.
You're right, Mr. Munger. There is something. A great weight pressing down on me.
Let's just sit down on this here felled tree and you can tell me all about it.
My entire life, I have tried to do what's right, to be ethical in every way. I suppose I inherited that from my father. Ethics was his specialty. He wrote a book on it, literally. Several books, in fact. He drilled it into me from the moment I could speak, think, and stand on my own two feet. He tested me constantly. Laid out meticulously constructed ethical dilemmas for me to ponder. I remember my childhood as a kind of prolonged wandering through a mental and moral labyrinth. When I graduated from Harvard,
I had a passion for finance, for the way capital flowed from place to place and built things. I saw in the capitalist system great untapped opportunities to reimagine this flow of wealth, to channel these enormous reserves towards ideas and causes previously thought to be the sole purview of do-gooders, NGOs, or foundations. And for many years, the satisfaction around making these ethical investments pay off for my clients was satisfaction enough to sustain me. True, the returns were modest, but I put food on the table, managed to pay the monthly mortgage on our Upper West two-bedroom. 2 weeks on the Cape every August, college fund, retirement, Subaru Outback. It was a good life. Not glamorous by any means. Very little margin for error, but reasonably comfortable. And most importantly, my investments met the highest ethical standards. My hands were clean. And then one day, 3 years ago, I remember the exact date, May 14th. An email landed in my inbox. It was from an investor I'd worked with on a solar project in Dubai. She was offering me an opportunity to invest, not through my fund, but me personally, in a startup focused on military-grade predator drone technology. She said the potential returns were astronomical. I don't know why. Still to this day, I cannot say what came over me. But I didn't say no. I did my research and arrived at two ineluctable conclusions. One, the return on investment would likely make me very wealthy beyond my wildest dreams. And two, the drone technology would very likely contribute to untold death, destruction, and human suffering to the world, specifically the developing world I'd worked so hard to bolster throughout my career.
And you did it. You pulled the trigger.
I can still feel the slight, springy resistance of the return key as I initiated the trade on my laptop. That's all it took. One small depression of my index finger. And it was done.
The military drones. Hoo-wee! It's nasty business. One second you got a wedding party on the outskirts of Kunduz, whole town gathered together, bride and groom dancing in the public square, happiest day of their lives. Little kids, old folks all looking on, all smiles, and then out of the blue, people just start dropping. Heads exploding, limbs flying off, ground soaked in blood.
It can also be remarkably precise. A single bullet fired from the clouds that finds its mark in a bedroom thousands of feet below. Nobody sees or hears a damn thing. It's like magic. Invisible, anonymous, death from the heavens. Why did I do it? After a life of living up to my father's ideals of ethical perfection, I just collapsed for things I didn't even want. The sprawling country estate, the money, status.
That's pretty obvious, ain't it? You did it as a big old fuck you, your old man.
But I love my father. I revered him.
Did you, Bill? Did you really?
No. My God, no! I didn't love him. I didn't revere him. I loathed him. I detested him for his incessant moralizing.
See? Don't that feel good? Getting all that crap off your chest, speaking the truth?
Yes! Yes! I suddenly feel light as a feather, like I can finally breathe. That's the problem nowadays. You can't be honest with anyone. We're all alone in our thoughts, deeds, and regrets.
Well, you're not alone anymore.
I mean, can you imagine if I'd told any of this to the Ethical Society folks?
That'd be a suicide pill. Pure and simple.
They'd eviscerate me. And Carol, she thinks I walk on water. She'd be destroyed if she ever found out.
Your secret's safe with me. Now, enough of this touchy-feely bullshit. Let's bag us a big old buck.
We are the slaughterers and the slaughtered.
We sure as shit are.
The sheets be hearty, water the decks with brine, bend the oars, you lousy horse, none is bigger than mine. Three old horse from Winnipeg were drinking sherry wine, said one of them to the other two, not as small as mine.
What the devil? Where have you been?
What do you mean? I'm right here.
Do you have any idea what time it is? You've been gone all day and you're drunk.
So I had a few drinks, big whip. You want some? Come on. I know you like a little tipple.
Something horrible has happened.
What? What's the matter?
Phyllis Pfister is dead.
What happened?
It's the weirdest thing. She was in her house folding laundry. Dennis, that's her husband, was downstairs watching TV, and he says he heard a loud thud. He called out for Phyllis, and she didn't answer, so he went upstairs to check on her, and there she was, lying on the bedroom floor, completely lifeless. Then he noticed blood trickling down her neck. He felt around her ear and discovered a small hole. By the time the ambulance got there, she was gone. But here's the weirdest part. When the police examined the scene, they couldn't find anything. No signs of foul play, no forced entry, nothing, except a tiny clean hole about the diameter of a number two pencil in one of the window panes. Dennis says he never noticed it before. It might have been there when they bought the place.
Well, what do the police think?
They don't know what to think.
I'm so sorry. I know you were fond of her. Come here.
Where have you been? It's nearly 10 o'clock.
I was out hunting with Henry Munger.
Hunting? Since when do you hunt?
I'm embracing the country life.
Who even is this Munger character?
I told you, I met him last week in the...
I know what you told me, but I asked around the society and nobody has ever heard of him.
So? They're all transplants like us. The Mungers have been on this land for hundreds of years. They built that precious library you and your Ethical Society cronies are so enamored of.
The Munger Library was built by two local families in 1886, the Munsons and the Ungers. They couldn't agree on whose name should go on it, so they combined both names, Munson plus Unger, Munger.
Well, fine. So his family didn't build the library. Big whip doesn't mean a damn thing.
What are you getting so worked up about?
I'm not getting worked up. I just like you to make up your mind. You wanted to move to the country, so we moved to the fucking country. It's the last thing I wanted to do. But I made the adjustment. All I do to make you happy. But now I'm doing everything wrong. Associating with the wrong people.
I don't give a damn who you associate with. I'm just saying it's a little strange that you're suddenly best friends with a local that nobody has ever heard of. I mean, this town is minuscule. You can't get an itch on your big toe without everyone knowing about it.
What did you just say?
Excuse me?
What did you just say? The toe thing.
I said you can't get an itch on your...
Where did you hear that?
I don't appreciate that.
Answer me!
It's an expression!
No, it's not!
What in God's name has gotten into you?
Okay, you know what? You want to play your little games? Go right ahead. I'm not interested. I'm going to bed. Good night.
Sleep it off!
You're very quiet today, Bill. Cat got your tongue. In trouble with the old lady?
Do you know Phyllis Pfister?
President of the Ethical Society?
Yep.
What about her?
She passed away yesterday.
You don't say. How?
It's unclear. Seems someone or something struck her in the head.
Breaking?
No, not exactly.
Well, I hate to speak ill of the dead, but good riddance. That's one less hypocrite stinking on my world.
That seems a little harsh.
I speak my mind. Gets me in trouble with the hoi polloi in town, but I don't give a damn. I could take the heat.
You know, funny thing, but, well, Carol was asking about you to the Ethical Society folks. And it's the strangest thing, but, well, none of them has ever heard of you. Or the Munger family.
That don't surprise me one bit. Carpetbaggers, every last one of them. The Pfisters, the Hurley, hell. They've been here less than 10 years, and they carry on like they're the town fathers. The Mungers, they cleared the trees, tilled the land, quarried the stone, fired the bricks to build this town. And don't you forget it, Billy boy.
That's exactly what I told her. I mean, it's right there, etched in stone, across the face of the Munger Library. Those are your ancestors, right?
Damn straight.
You know, Mr. Munger, I'm not really feeling up for the hunt today.
How's that?
Well, I think I might have overdone it yesterday. I'm just gonna head back.
She really got to you, huh?
Excuse me?
Your wife. Carol? She really got under your skin.
I'm afraid I don't
Bill,
know
Bill, please,
what
for
your...
once in your life, don't be such a goddamn pussy.
I beg your pardon.
You heard me. All this talk of nobody knowing who I am. You got spooked, admit it.
Okay, fine. Yes, I do find it a bit odd that no one has ever heard of me.
Well, they might not know me, but I know them. And I know you.
Be that as it may, I still think I'm going to have to beg off.
You just don't get it. You're not begging off shit. We're gonna bag us a wild hog, and then we're gonna go back to my place, roast that fucker up, have us a little party, same as we've been doing. You understand?
I won't be told what I can and can't.
You'll be told whatever I goddamn well please to tell you. Ain't nothing up to you no more, Bill. Need I remind you? I know things.
Is that a threat, Mr. Munger?
Just stating the facts, Billy boy. There's a whole slew of people that find it real interesting how you really made your fortune. William Baxter, the great ethical investor. Ha! The great fraud is more like it. Hot damn! Did you see that hog? That must be damn near 300 pounds. I'm gonna flush him out. Soon as he hits that opening other side of the brush there, you blast him, you understand? Hey, you understand?
Yes, Mr. Munger, I understand.
Good. Now lock and load. Yo! Get on, get! Wally! There it goes, boys, shoot! Bill, I said you!
Good God!
Bitch, you shot me on purpose.
It was an accident. I'll run and get help. Just...
I didn't think you had it in you.
You're losing a lot of blood. Just hold this against the wound.
Couldn't take the chance of me blowing your cover, eh?
Shut up. Just stop talking. Just don't move. I'll be back quickly as I can.
No time. No time. I always said, it's just a matter of time before I'm curled up on the ground, waiting for my hunter to finish me off. Do it. Pull the trigger.
No.
Do it.
No!
Put me out of my misery.
No! I am the slaughterer. Slaughtered.
William Baxter, you come out of that shed this instant.
Go away. I need some time alone.
We've got 100 guests out here on the lawn, caterers, an open bar. Ben will be arriving any minute. You must come out.
I can't.
People are starting to talk. If it's anxiety, for the love of God, I'll get you a Xanax. But you will not ruin Ben's homecoming. Oh. The garden shed. Really? What on earth has come over you?
I need some time alone.
Well, your timing is impeccable.
I am not the man you think I am.
Are you honestly going to sully your son's triumphant homecoming with a confession of some tawdry affair?
What? No! It's nothing like that.
Well then, out with it!
This house. Our cars. The clothes on our backs. Ben's tuition at Oberlin. Your precious Munger library renovation. It's all been financed with ill-gotten gains. A single trade.
Are you talking about the Dubai military drone thing?
Wait. You know about that?
Of course I know about it.
But how?
When you announced completely out of the blue that you were ready to wind things down at the ripe old age of 46, I got a little suspicious. Then we started to look at real estate up here, and after a lifetime of scrimping and watching our bottom line, there seemed to be no limit to what you were willing to spend. That's when I started digging around. I took Suzanne out to lunch.
Suzanne? My secretary?
Mm-hmm. 3 martinis later, she spilled the beans.
So?
So what?
So you've known all this time that I'm a fraud.
Oh, Bill. Get over yourself. You're not a fraud, you're a human being. You did a lot of good for a lot of people and then you cashed in.
So you're not angry?
I'm relieved. I thought we were headed to our graves as ethically pure paupers.
But those predator drones, they're—
I know what they are, I did some research, but here's the thing. Predator drones would exist with or without your investment, right?
Maybe, but...
But nothing. Look, I know what I'm about to say is going to sound ugly and unfeeling, but frankly, I don't give a damn anymore. I've come to the conclusion that the Earth is divided into 2 classes of people. Those who, by birth, or pure dumb luck, are shielded from the worst the world has to offer. And those unlucky souls who were born into a life of endless pain and suffering.
The slaughterer and the slaughtered.
Huh?
Nothing.
Well, I'm not saying it's fair. I'm not saying it's right, but guess what? We didn't create the situation. The best we can do is play the hand we've been dealt and try as much as possible to level the playing field.
But there's more. And I don't even know where to begin.
Oh, stop beating yourself up. You devoted your entire career to giving the less fortunate a leg up.
You don't understand.
I do what I can at the Ethical Society.
I did something unforgivable.
Should we suffer simply because people on the other side of the world are suffering? Should the physician give himself cancer so he can treat the cancer in his patients? Enough! We've got the rest of our lives to unravel the mystery of human suffering.
But I...
Now let's get out of this stuffy old shed and greet our beautiful boy and all of our beautiful guests. It's going to be a magnificent day. Oh, look! There he is! Our Ben! Our beautiful, beautiful boy!
I don't see him.
He's right over there, on the deck, talking to the Druze.
I just can't see him.
What is that noise?
God, you see that?
What is that now?
Up in the sky.
Hello, Bill.
You.
Surprised to see me?
But how?
Are you talking to me?
I killed you.
Excuse me?
What is that sound? You hear that?
I buried you. With my own hands!
William Baxter, what has gotten into you? Pull yourself together.
I told you, Bill. I've always been here.
It's not possible!
What is that sound?
Who's flying the drone?
This land is within me.
I know what I did.
And what I...
What are you talking about? What did you do?
It's him. Can't you see him?
Who?
Hunter Imonga, he's standing right there!
I am the slaughter.
There's nobody there!
What is that sound? Do you hear that?
Oh my God!
It's a
what's
drone!
Happening?
And the slaughterer.
No, no! Get down, boys! Get down! Oh
my God! Oh my God!
Was rather ghastly. Not to drone on about it, but... Until next time, dear listener, this is Larry Fessenden signing off.
You have just listened to The Slaughtered, written and directed by Joe Maggio, and featuring the voice talents of James LeGros, Alex Hurt, Emily Bennett, Eleanor Hutchins, Imani J. Powers, Monica Wyatch, Jordan Gaspour, and Matt Rocker. Sound design and mix by Matt Rocker at Underground Audio in New York and remote recordings at Monkeyland in Los Angeles. Original cello score by Dave Egger. Produced by Larry Fessenden and Glenn McQuaid, along with Jordan Gaspour and Rigo Gary. Copyright Tales from Beyond the Pale 2025.